हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावहितमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 19, Antya Lila, Chapter 19, The Inconceivable Behavior of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 3:19, 102-107. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thus returned to external consciousness. He then bathed and went to see Lord Jagannath. The pastimes of Lord Krishna are uncommonly full of transcendental potency. It is a characteristic of such pastimes that they do not fall within the jurisdiction of experimental logic and arguments. When transcendental love of Krishna awakens in someone's heart, even a learned scholar cannot comprehend his activities. Quote, the activities and symptoms of that exalted personality in whose heart love of Godhead has awakened cannot be understood even by the most learned scholar. Footnote 13. This verse is quoted from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1:4:17. The activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are undoubtedly uncommon, especially his talking like a madman. Therefore, one who hears of these pastimes should not put forward mundane arguments. He should simply hear the pastimes with full faith. The evidence of the truth of these talks is found in Srimad Bhagavatam. There in the section of the 10th canto known as the Brahmar Gita, the song to the bumblebee, Srimati Radharani speaks insanely in ecstatic love for Krishna. So that's an important part, is that we don't have to get into all kinds of things of explanation. You know, some simple, we don't have to get in and try to bring out more esoteric things. You know, just as it is, we just leave it. And if there's something that we, you know, don't understand or something, then we try to say what we can. So it's not necessary to bring in some kind of more intellectual aspect. Srila Prabhupada. When Uddhava arrived from Mathura, carrying a message for the gopis began talking about Krishna and crying. Then Srimati Radharani saw a bumblebee and began speaking to it like someone mad, thinking that the bee was a messenger of Uddhava's or was someone very dear to him and Krishna. The verses are as follows, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47, 12-21. And this is taken from My dear bumblebee, you are a very cunning friend of Uddhava and Krishna. You are very expert in touching people's feet, but I am not going to be misled by this. You appear to have sat on the breast of one of Krishna's friends, for I see that you have kumkuma dust on your mustache. Krishna is now engaged in flattering all his young girlfriends in Mathura. Therefore, now that he can be called a friend of the residents of Mathura, he does not need the help of the residents of Vrindavana. He has no reason to satisfy us gopis. Since you are the messenger of such a person as he, what is the use of your presence here? Certainly Krishna would be ashamed of your presence in this assembly. How has Krishna offended the gopis so that they want to reject him from their minds? The answer is given as follows. Krishna no longer gives us the enchanting nectar of his lips. Instead, he now gives that nectar to the women of Mathura. Krishna directly attracts our minds, yet he resembles a bumblebee like you, because he gives up the association of a beautiful flower and goes to a flower that is inferior. That is the way Krishna has treated us. I do not know why the goddess of fortune continues to serve his lotus feet instead of leaving them aside. Apparently, she believes in Krishna's false words. We gopis, however, are not unintelligent like Lakshmi. After hearing the bumblebee's sweet songs and recognizing the bee was singing about Krishna for her satisfaction, the gopi replied, "Dear bumblebee, Lord Krishna has no residence here, but we know him as Yadupati, the king of the Yadu dynasty. We know him very well, and therefore you're not interested in hearing any more songs about him. It would be better for you to go sing those who are now very dear to Krishna. Those women of Mathura have now achieved the opportunity of being embraced by him. They are his beloveds now, and therefore he has relieved the burning in their breasts. If you go there and sing your songs to those fortunate women, they will be very pleased and they will honor you. O collector of honey, Krishna must be very sorry not to see us gopis. Surely he is afflicted by memories of our pastimes. Therefore he has sent you as a messenger to satisfy us. Do not speak to us. All the women in the three worlds were dead, where death is inevitable. All the women in the three worlds where death is inevitable, the heavenly, middle, and lower planets, are very easily available to Krishna because his curved eyebrows are so attractive. Moreover, he is always served very faithfully by the goddess of fortune. In comparison with her, we are most insignificant. Indeed, we are nothing. Yet, although he is very cunning, Krishna is also very charitable. You may inform him that he is praised for his kindness to unfortunate persons, and that he is therefore known as Uttama Shloka, one who is praised by chosen words and verses. You are buzzing at my feet just to be forgiven for your past offenses. Kindly go away from my feet. I know that Mukunda has taught you to speak very sweet, flattering words like this and to act as his messenger. These are certainly clever tricks, my dear bumblebee, but I can understand them. This is Krishna's offense. Do not tell Krishna what I have said, although I know that you are very envious. We gopis have given up our husbands, our sons, and all the religious principles that promise better births. And now we have no business other than serving Krishna. Yet Krishna, by controlling his mind, has easily forgotten us. Therefore, don't speak of him anymore. Let us forget our relationship. When we remember the past births of Krishna, my dear bumblebee, we are very much afraid of him. In his incarnation as Lord Ramachandra, he acted like a hunter and unjustly killed his friend Vali. Lusty Suparnaka came to satisfy Ramachandra's desires, but he was so attracted to Sita Devi that he cut off Suparnaka's nose. In his incarnations as Vamanadeva, he plundered Bali Maharaj and took all his possessions, cheating him on the pretext of accepting worship from him. Vamana caught Bali Maharaj exactly as one catches a crow. My dear bumblebee, it is not very good to make friends with such a person. I know that once one begins to talk about Krishna, it is very difficult to stop, and I admit that I have insufficient strength to give up talking about him. Topics about Krishna are so powerful that they destroy the four religious principles: religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. Anyone who drinks even a drop of Krishna Katha through oral reception is freed from all material attachment and envy. Like a bird with no means of subsistence, such a person becomes a mendicant and lives by begging. Ordinary household affairs become miserable for him, and without attachment he suddenly gives up everything. Although such renunciation is quite suitable, because I am a woman, I am unable to adopt it. Oh, my dear messenger, I am just like a foolish bird that hears the sweet song of a hunter, believes in them due to simplicity, and then is pierced in the heart and made to suffer all kinds of miseries. Because we believe in Krishna's words, we have suffered great pain. Indeed, the touch of Krishna's nails has injured our faces. He has caused us much pain. Therefore, you should give up topics concerning him and talk about something else. After hearing all these statements from Srimati Radhika, the bumblebee left and then returned. After some thought, the gopi said, "You are Krishna's very dear friend, and by his order you have come here again. Therefore, you are worshipable for me. O best of messengers, tell me now, what is your request? What do you want? Krishna cannot give up conjugal love, and therefore I understand that you have come here to take us to him. But how will you do that? We know that many goddesses of fortune now reside at Krishna's chest, and they constantly serve Krishna better than we can. Praising the bumblebee for its sobriety, she began to speak in great jubilation. Krishna is now living like a gentleman at the Gurukul in Mathura, forgetting all the gopis of Vrindavan. But does he not remember the sweet house of his father, Nanda Maharaj? We are all naturally his maidservants. Does he not remember us? Does he ever speak about us, or has he forgotten us completely? Will he ever forgive us and once again touch us with those hands fragrant with the scent of Agni? Yeah, it says here, Srila Prabhupada. It doesn't say where it's taken from. Because it's verses 10:47. Yeah. Prabhupada only did up to 13, but here then has all of it. So it must be in some other place. Mm-hmm. Unless it's Krishna Gopi. Mm-hmm. 3:19:108. The songs of the queens at Dwarka, which are mentioned at the end of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, have a very special meaning. They are not understood even by the most learned scholars. Srila Prabhupada. These songs of the Bhagavatam are verses 15 through 24 of the 19th chapter of the 10th canto. All the queens incessantly thought of Krishna. After their pastimes in the water, the queens said, "Our dear friend, the osprey, Krishna is now asleep, but we stay awake at night because of him. You laugh at us when you see us awake at night, but why are you not sleeping? You seem absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Have you also been pierced by Krishna's smile? His smile is very sweet. One who is pierced by such an arrow is very fortunate. O Chakravaki, you keep your eyes wide open at night because you cannot see your friend. Indeed, you are suffering very much. Is it because of compassion that you are crying? Or are you trying to capture Krishna by remembering him?" Oh, 90th, not 19th. Yeah, 90th. I was thinking 19th.
It's the last chapter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's the last chapter. Is it because of compassion that you're crying, or are you trying to capture Krishna by remembering him? Having been touched by the lotus feet of Krishna, all the queens are very happy. Are you crying to wear Krishna's garland on your head? Please answer these questions clearly, O Chakravaki, so that we can understand. O ocean, you have no opportunity to sleep quietly at night. Instead, you are always awake and crying. You have received this benediction, and your heart is broken, just like ours. Mukunda's business with us is simply to smear our marks of kunkuma. O ocean, you suffer as much as we. O moon, you appear to be suffering from a severe fever, perhaps tuberculosis. Indeed, your effulgence does not have the strength to destroy the darkness. Have you become mad after hearing the songs of Krishna? Is that why you are silent? Seeing your suffering, we feel that you are one of us. O Malayan breeze, kindly tell us what is wrong we have done to you. Why do you fan the flames of desire in our hearts? We have been pierced by the arrow of Govinda's glance, for he is perfect in the art of awakening the influence of Cupid. Dear cloud, O friend of Krishna, are you thinking of the Srivatsa symbol on Krishna's chest, like us queens engaged in loving affairs with him? You are absorbed in meditation, remembering the association of Krishna, and thus you shed tears of misery. Dear cuckoo, you possess a very sweet voice. You are very expert in imitating others. You could excite even a dead body with your voice. Therefore, tell the queens that good behavior is their proper duty. O magnanimous mountain, you are very grave and sober, absorbed in thoughts of doing something very great. Like us, you have vowed to keep within your heart the lotus feet of Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. O rivers, wives of the ocean, we see that the ocean does not give you happiness. Thus you have almost dried up, and you no longer bear beautiful lotuses. The lotuses have become skinny, and even in the sunshine they are devoid of all pleasure. Similarly, the hearts of us poor queens are all dried up, and our bodies are skinny because we are now devoid of loving affairs with Madhupati. Are you, like us, dry and without beauty because you are devoid of Krishna's loving glance? O Swan, you have come here so happily. Let us welcome you. We understand that you are always Krishna's messenger. Now, while you drink this milk, tell us what his message is. Has Krishna said something about us to you? May we inquire from you whether Krishna is happy? We want to know. Does he remember us? We know that the goddess of fortune is serving him alone. We are simply maidservants. How can we worship him who speaks sweet words but never fulfills our desires? 319, 109, 112. One becomes a servant of the servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu and is favored by them. He can believe in all these discourses. Just try to hear these topics with faith, for there is great pleasure even in hearing them. That hearing will destroy all miseries pertaining to the body, mind, and other living entities, and the unhappiness of false arguments as well. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is ever increasingly fresh. For one who hears it again and again, the heart and ear become pacified. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps.
Maharaj, so we heard that.
While you were reading with him, you offered him.
First, we've heard that gopis talk to the bee, and then now we heard the queens talking, you know, different objects. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what's the comparison? What's the message? And especially, why is it one after the other?
Because there's still that aspect of separation. That's the common thing between those two, that, you know, that at this particular moment they're not with Krishna, and so therefore then they're feeling some that separation. So how they're expressing that? So you see, is that they for the queens, then they just are lamenting about not being engaged. Srimati Radharani, then there's that aspect of making the presentation of not wanting to interact with Krishna, but at the same time being always talking about him and everything like that. So you can't, and so then you take that mood, and the bee goes. Because the point is you can only have that mood as long as there's someone to express that mood to. So if the bee goes, then you can't express like that. When he comes back, then it's okay, then I'll be more careful. You know, maybe he went because I was speaking like this.
Yes. You know. It is mentioned.
Yeah. And so then, you know, so that's the aspect of just about the point of rasa, or whatever was mentioned there. Just here it mentioned Songs of the Queens of Dwarka. Okay, so then this one was, see here. The evidence of truth, the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are undoubtedly uncommon, especially he's talking like a madman. Therefore, one who hears these pastimes should not put forward mundane arguments. He should simply hear the pastimes with full faith. The evidence of the truth of these talks is found in Srimad Bhagavatam. There in the section of the 10th canto known as the Brahmara Gita, the song to the bumblebee, Srimati Radharani speaks insanely in ecstatic love for Krishna. And then the songs of the queens at Dwarka, which are mentioned at the end of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, have a very special meaning. They are not understood even by the most learned scholars. Like, that's the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then those two came in between. If one becomes a servant of the servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu, and is favored by them, he can believe in all these discourses. Try to hear these topics with faith, for there is great pleasure even in hearing them. right? Even if you don't understand that, just in hearing them would be nice. That hearing will destroy all miseries pertaining to the body, mind, and other living entities, and the unhappiness of false arguments as well. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is ever increasingly fresh. For one who hears it again and again, the heart and ear become pacified. Yeah? So he's just mentioning that Lord Chaitanya is talking in these ways like a madman. And due to that separation and all that, having met and then separated. So like that, then he's also giving the evidence, you know, mention about to the Brahmar Gita, to the queens at Dwarka. So like that, then you have that. That's the kind of talks that Lord Chaitanya is speaking and tasting.
Because so. I don't know, there are many places, but at least one place, Srila Prabhupada, one of the classes, he really stresses Vipralamba. He says, this is the line of Lord Chaitanya. You read this? It just
copied it to other people.
Yeah. It just came up from different senior devotees on the Facebook, and then, you know, it's coming, and then I read it again, and then I read it, you know, but it's the same quote from Srila Prabhupada. So he really says that this is our tradition. It's not Sambhog. He specifically said it's not Sambhog, it's Vipralamba. This is the mode of Mahaprabhu, like that.
Even if I go to hell, as long as I can remember Krishna, I'll be in hell.
So, I mean, it's the end of Chaitanya Charitamrita. But we see also, you know, in Hansadutta, it's exact same principle. Lalitashi speaks to the swan, and so it's like, it seems to be difficult to express the feelings directly to the object of your affection or love or whatever it is. But then to a third object, it's not that difficult. But actually, the message it's to Krishna. It's not to the swan. It's not to the bumblebee. So, is it like a traditional technique, or is it like, where is it coming from? Is it
a traditional technique?
maybe it's in the form of drama. One of the techniques in drama, that you speak to a neutral object to address someone else.
It's a technique.
But it's just a technique. It's one of the techniques. So it's just how it works, because it means, as it mentions, the movement of the pastimes of Krishna and the gopis is like a thunderbolt. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's vakra, it's not straight. It just doesn't work that way, mm-hmm. You know. Yeah. So it. Why would? Because everything's so direct and obvious. And how do you get the variety? How do you get all the other aspects? You know, because it's about taste. It's not about accomplishment. See, we're used to being in the material world means that we have given up the Krishna as the object of the. Result of activities and his pleasure. So that's been left. So what does that leave you? If you've given up Icha, that only leaves Kriya and Jnana. So the Sat and the Chit part are there. Though we talk about Ananda, but here in the material world there's no Ananda. We've only compromised with the aspect of something that's a miserable condition stops, we call that happiness. That's as good as it gets. Like, I'm hungry, it's miserable. I get rid of the hunger, I say I'm happy.
Yeah.
So there's no positive happiness, there's no Ananda here. We've settled for, okay, it's not miserable. Because the soul being Ananda can't relate with misery. That's why if you leave something long enough, even a situation that wasn't very good, you'll just remember any little bit out of it that you could say was nice. You know, like it was, you know, just the camaraderie of sitting in the foxhole, you know, for, you know, 72 hours while, while the enemy was, you know, firing at you and all that. You just remember that. You don't remember the mud, the mosquitoes and this, and your feet are wet and all that kind of jazz. You know, that you remember before, or when you go to once a year they have that, you know, flag raising and all that. Then you talk about all that stuff. But you just forget. You know, it's like the and because of that, it's kind of like the official Swedish social policy is that if anything goes wrong, just nobody talks about it. And then give it time, and then everybody's cool again. They don't address it, because it'll just make it worse. So you just sweep it under the rug. And after 10 years, then everyone will laugh about it.
Like the massacre on that island.
Where?
The massacre, that was in Norway. Right?
Norway.
Yeah, I'm not sure if the Norwegians are like that, but the Swedish are like
that. The massacre on that island, crazy guy.
Yeah, so it's just, they just, the point is that the living entity only relates to happiness, not to sadness. Right? But we see is what's here is that that intensity is there because it's about Krishna, it's positive. So you're with Krishna, but it has the feeling of separation, but you're not. Even though you're with, when you're remembering Krishna, you're with Krishna. Like that. So, you know, it is in that bhav form. So the ecstasy that's there, then is more intense because of that focus and everything. Because the other, then there's all the changing and this and that going on in some boat, but in the Vipralamba, then it seems to be more focused. It does adjust and change, and it does have all the aspects of the sanctuary things, but the intensity is greater. So that's the uniqueness of what he's saying, because other sampradayas don't deal with that. Vaikuntha is no such thing. Mm. You know, you go in the morning, and then when it opens, then you're there doing service of the day. In the evening, then you fly in the airplane home, and, you know, the husband and wife talk together and all that, and all their duties, and then in the morning you go back. So there's no question of separation. It's just that's the time the Lord's open, you can see him. But when he's not, then that's the time you're at home. So it's not a matter of separation. You know, at other places, they'll be, you know, to some degree, like we see the queens, to some degree. But still, this separation only brings them up to the points of Anubhava. It doesn't bring them to Mahabhava. Yeah. So it's specifically a Gaudiya. And that you see in this, that approach, even that, the appreciation of that is by us. You don't necessarily see other sampradayas talking about the 90th chapter. I mean, like some won't even deal with
the 13th.
Yeah, they won't even deal with that. You know,
and
so
that's when he's praying for.
Yeah, so it'd be that whole lila. They just leave that out. You know, it's just kind of like
we don't know why it's there.
Yeah. It's like the Shankarites can't understand why Shankaracharya wrote a book. All it does is glorify Radha and Krishna. So it's like, they'll say, yeah, he wrote the book, but we have no idea why he did. You know, like that, as they can't, it just doesn't make sense to them.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he had to say that at the end, because they're such idiots, but.
Maharaj, a couple of things. One is, while you were reading the words of Srimati Radharani to the bumblebee, this conversation takes place in the forest. Uddhava goes to the forest to meet with Radha and the gopis. So that's the environment that they find themselves in. Mm-hmm. And therefore that environment brings them into lila smana, which means what happened in that forest when they were with Krishna. Mm-hmm. So the words that Radha uses, and even the gopis, the way they express themselves is about Krishna and them. What he does to them, what they do to him. That's basically the conversation. We read, for the pastime of Ratha Yatra, when Lord Chaitanya begins to recite those prayers, and there is a confrontation or a discussion between Radha and Krishna at Kurukshetra. And I remember something that really struck me is when Radharani is telling Krishna in what condition Vrindavan is, she begins by mentioning his parents, his friends, the cows, the birds, and only at the end she mentions herself. And I found it's quite a contrast in the conversation. In the forest, she talks about herself and Krishna. When she sees Krishna in Kurukshetra, she puts everyone forward. You are hurting them. You're making them die. So are you aware of what you're doing to them? She doesn't even mention herself. Only at the end, she says, what about me? So there's really a difference in the mood of what's her meditation in the two different places.
Let's say you have something light.
Sweet?
No.
Oh.
Like that. That's on higher levels of discussion later.
We're not there yet.
I mean, we have to build up. So, let's say there's something light to say. You know, something simple, straightforward. Is there a problem for the lady to say it directly to the man?
Normally not.
Okay. Now, let us say it's something more intense.
She can keep it to herself.
That, or she talks to a third party.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Yeah. And if you increase the intensity more?
She gets upset.
No, but I'm just saying in that line, then what happens? Instead of just saying this and then themselves, then
right.
They add more.
Yes.
So it's just a matter of Kurukshetra is the, you could say, in general, the pinnacle of separation. Because in Vrindavan, they're with Krishna. If he's there, they can interact with him. Or he's not there, and they can't interact with him. So that's going to be very intense. But when you have Krishna standing right in front of you and you can't interact with him, that's more intense. Right? I think that one of the acharyas describes that somewhere. It's just, it's more intense because you're with, but you can't say anything, you can't deal with it. So the intensity is greater. So it's not opposite kind of presentations, it's just the same flavor going more and more deep. So it being the greatest feeling of separation, therefore then you're going to have, you know, more things added.
Mm-hmm. She includes everything.
Yeah, because before you get around with them, because then, you know, it also then shows how much of their suffering so much, then how much is she going to be suffering?
I think it also shows her compassion. Like they come first.
That's there, but I would say is if you're dealing with the element of the separation. I wouldn't take it that that's going to be the main aspect. You know, it just depends upon, or if it is about that, then they're just talking on that level, because you have the attraction that Radharani has for Krishna, then the, the attitude in her service to Krishna, and then the taste she experiences in that love. Right, so there's going to be those three features. Mm-hmm. So if we're dealing with these three different features, then there's naturally going to be some variation in it, because you do have these three categories. Right? But at the same time, as they're not going to be so different, because they're just one natural progression of one thing. You know, does that make sense? So the love for Krishna is the one thing, but then there's how one's attracted, how that taste one has, the attitude and service, you know, what they taste in doing the service, you know, the taste in that love, you know, these kind of aspects are going to be there. So if you're looking at from that side, then it's going to be these different considerations. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So if you're bringing out that, then you have to see is what's there. But I wouldn't take it and just make the prominence of that is the compassion on the others. You know, it'll be that aspect of it's just that's how you approach. If something's not direct, then you say this is even more indirect. So the more indirect it is, it means you know the more intense it is. So
the more indirect, the more intense.
Yeah. So therefore, naturally, you. Because here, when they're talking about themselves, it's always in the context of Krishna. So it's not about their suffering. It's about that relationship with Krishna, like that. So that's the subtlety that's there. So then, and that's a little bit more obvious. That's why you see that's discussed. Mm-hmm. Like you see in these literatures, it does not discuss about the maidservants. You know, everyone sees themselves as a maidservant. So you see the queens see themselves that way, the gopis see themselves that way. So, but the maidservants, the nityashakis, it doesn't mention them here. They're mentioned in other details than that. Because Prabhupada, in one purport, is saying that. Explaining their position is quite, you know, difficult because here you have somebody who has that affection for Krishna but is not interested in directly interacting with Krishna. It's about assisting those who are interacting with Krishna. Right? And so then that aspect of this, so there is no aspect of their own pleasure. Mm. Right? Mm. But gopis know when they're happy, Krishna is more happy. So then that is part of the happiness. So if they're unhappy, then that would naturally make him unhappy. So that's the point. It's not about themselves. So in that also, I would be careful to not overemphasize the focus on themselves. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah. The other thing is, I remember once the Lord Krishnamurti was giving some lectures about this topic, separation and pastimes, and as he was describing, you know, the intense feeling of separation, the suffering, which is actually pleasure, but there is suffering, there is stress, there is, you know, all sorts of painful emotions, and then he says, if you don't like it, you better shoot for Vaikuntha. You get peace there, because when you enter Braj, there's no more peace. Mm. And it's a fact, you know, Braj Bhagavatamrita, when I read the first time, I was thinking, I mean, there's always a trauma, you know, they're dragging their bodies, you know. Where is Krishna? It's like, it's non-stop anxiety. So yeah, Vaikuntha, which is no anxiety, and then you got Goloka Vrindavan, which is anxiety, but it's transcendental anxiety.
Yeah, the point is, no anxiety means that there's no material, there's no involvement in the mundane, which doesn't give any satisfaction. So you're always on the platform where you're dealing with the Lord, and so there's satisfaction. Mm. Well, in Braj, then that satisfaction is even greater. See, these are mediums through which you're using. That's not the point. It's just like, let's say, let us say, okay, you've done something, right? And your wife then says, you know, she expresses that she's not overly impressed by it, right? And then you, try to explain it, you know, to some, you know, some logical explanation of the mechanical flow of things. And then after saying that, then she goes, fine.
Have it your way.
Yeah, leave out the have it your way, just the fine. Right? Even the leave it your way. Are those words what's actually meant?
No.
Is it fine?
It's not fine.
Or it says, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, right, go ahead.
Merge into Brahma. That's what I feel. Just merge into Brahma.
Now that would be interesting. You sit there and just go into the light. I wonder what the
not interesting at all.
Then you look at it and go, that's new.
No fun.
Yeah. Then get out of rolling pin. Still there?
No, there should be some dust in
it. Why you sit there and watch? I know you're watching. Now you go through. No, open the window. You understand? So it's not there. So you should. It's not even an emphasis on their suffering or this or that, because they're not.
They're not. Of course they're not.
Yeah. So that's the whole thing. Is that the sanctuary is when that's all together, that's rasa. But if we means you can analyze each one of them separately, and that you can do. But when you combine them together, that taste of rasa, that you can't explain. No one explains it. No one tries to explain it. That's why in here, when he's saying the inconceivable behavior, and you know what was the last one, that's rescuing from the sea, but then you had there, then there was the bodily transformations, then there was taste nectar from the lips of Sri Krishna, then what was before that? The transcendental madness of Sri Chaitanya. They just describe the pastime. So, we may be amazed by the situation, we may be amazed by the moods and all that, you know, and things like that. But the taste, then that's, if you're on that level, then you'll get that taste. So that's what he's pointing out. Even if you don't understand it, it's still going to be wonderful and you're purified. And it'll be attractive. So we shouldn't overemphasize that, because then it is true. You know, if you don't like these things, then you're going to the wrong place. But the point is that it's only when there's no interest in liberation, that would be the point. If you're interested in, I'm going here because I'm close to the Lord, or I'm an associate of the Lord, or I have the same facility as the Lord, or I have the same kind of features as the Lord, and in that way I'm not in the material world and I've gotten this transcendental benefit, then Braj is not for you. If you want to make it about yourself, mm-hmm. Braj means it's about Krishna, and Krishna means it's about you. Mm-hmm. You know, so Vaikuntha, it's about serving God and God being God. You know, and so there's an interaction. They talk about the sweetness. They talk about, it's also called sneha bhakti. You know, that mood, because that, you know, there's that kind of deep affection, like that kind of aspect. But you're going to have is that the individual, it's not about the individual. So they're not absorbed in themselves, and I'm suffering so much. That's what goes on here. So when we're suffering, it's I'm suffering. There, they're just absorbed in Krishna. The transcendental symptoms look like the sanchari bhavas of suffering.
Mm. Yes.
But they're not suffering. They're not. That's the difference. Is here, you see the symptoms of suffering, and the person's thinking, I'm suffering.
Yes.
But there, they don't think I'm suffering. They're absorbed in Krishna, but it gives a particular flavor that he's not there, so they feel that separation. So that's going to be the difference, unless that's, you need to bring that out, otherwise it's, yeah, I mean, the best thing is, you just, yeah.
In other words, in the material world, pain is pain, as we were, pain is pleasure.
Yeah, like that. But it's the point is everything connected with Krishna is pleasure. That's the whole point. It's not that pain is pleasure, it's the connection to Krishna's pleasure. Right? So it's not that you know, they're all walking around with a cat and nine and flogging themselves. And, oh, Krishna, like this, you know, like that. You know, walking on the road to Mathura. You know, like that. No, that's not what's going on.
It's already taken.
Hmm?
It's already taken.
Yeah, that position already taken.
Yeah, yeah, I'm just saying that it's already going on. So there's already a sampradaya for that. So the point is it's not about pain, it's not about trying to get the pain, it's about that absorption in Krishna, then these Is that? So, yeah. Yes.
Also, in the difference in separation between the material outlook and for the devotees in the spiritual world is there is always hope of meeting Krishna, and that is the main thing because of which that pain doesn't have a negative effect.
Mm.
Also, as we're discussing that Swarasiki pastimes, that union, even in separation, they are able to experience that union because of them being connected by that aprakata Swarasiki kind pastimes.
Yeah, so it's, you're with Krishna in separation. It's not that you're not with Krishna, there's no, like you said, no hope. Like here, you're separated, it's just where's the connection?
Yes.
You know? And so here, there's an emptiness. There's no emptiness.
With Krishna, without Krishna, it's always with
you're Krishna. Always with Krishna, but as one of the acharyas points out, the flavor is that of separation because you're not with, so it gives a different flavor. But that is more intense. But then by that, it's not that they just stay on that platform, because the point is let's say it is, you know, the intensity is greater. But the point is how do you increase that intensity? By being with Krishna. Then when you're separated, so having been separated, then meeting with Krishna, then that meeting will be more ecstatic than the previous meeting. But because now that meeting has been so ecstatic, now when you're separated, the separation will be greater than the previous separation. Right? And so then that separation, so the meeting brings it up to here, then the separation takes it to here, then the meeting goes from here to here, then like this.
And that's constant.
Yeah. So that's the whole point, is that here means we have problem with fatigue and all this and that, because we're desiring something and that's not happening. And so then we, it being about our pleasure, then then the various emotions may come up, but also with time you just get fatigued. But there the spiritual body doesn't have fatigue. You know, they don't, it's made of Satchitananda, so there's no problem in being absorbed in these things. So the intensity, so we can say is no, but we don't want that intensity. Okay. We'll take whoever wants that and says that, and then you know, get together a few things. You know, get in your car, drive out into the middle of the forest, and, you know, stop the car and sit down. Open the doors, put down the back, sit there and, you know, be peaceful. You know, how long are they going to go for that? You know, they're going to ask, did you bring something to eat? No, we came here for peace, you know. Eating will get in the way of our appreciation of the forest. You know what I'm saying? So, all it is that they want intense emotion on their terms. Because no one's looking for nothing. Otherwise, what do you call it? Why is it now, so much of the world is going nuts over activities that are designed to produce dopamine? Because all the games that they have, they do psychological tests. People run it and they check. Does this thing increase the dopamine? If it does, it goes on the market. If it doesn't, they work until it does. You know? Does that make sense? You know, now, you put on your phone, your phone has settings that, you know, you've been talking on, you've been using the phone this long. You can set things, you can only use this thing for so long. Because they're designed that you will 24/7 play on that game or whatever it is, and, you know. So, people don't mind the intensity as long as it's working the way they like it. Does that make sense? You know, if they're out there and they're able to steal every car on the market, then they're in ecstasy. But when their car gets stolen and they have to walk, you know, then now the world's falling apart, and what's life and what's the use and like that. So it's only anger after frustration that people say, no, we only want this. Because we have to remember it's based on that envy and anger. That's what your impersonalism is based on. You know, when it's intense, it turns into Buddhism, which is anger. The Mayavada is envy. Right? Yes.
Also, we see Jiva Goswami in Priti Sandarbha. He gives two categories of explanations of rasa. One is first time, when a devotee first time sees Krishna face to face. That time it is called either Siddha or Rudra, one of these. And then how the taste is, like how he sees and then Uddipanas, what kind of created, that's one category. But then the devotees who are already in contact with Krishna and then they are separated from him and they see him again, then the kind of rasa taste, the experience is very different from
that first one, because the first one you've just seen, and even though you're separated, you're in ecstasy about having seen, no?
Yeah, the first time when you see, like from conditioned soul, first time when he sees Krishna, then that's the first time he's seeing, there is a particular level of intensity. But those associates who are separated, and when they see Krishna again, their intensity is very different, and then how they experience is...
Yeah, intensity no one has a problem with. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, you know, you say, as they go, I say, you've been, what is it? Something non sequitur or far side. You know, they show a guy sitting in his armchair, you know, watching the TV.
Yes.
And on the wall there's a clock. And it's saying like 1 o'clock or something like that. And he's sitting there. Then it's like, you know, 2 o'clock. And he's sitting there. Nothing's moving. Then it's 3 o'clock. And then he goes, woo. And then, you know, 4 o'clock, he's just sitting, he's watching a golf match. You know. So, yeah. So that woo, that was it. That was this, as you know, that's the intensest it gets. So. Yeah, it was this one of those. So you see is that there's always trying to increase the intensity. Everybody's trying to, whatever the intensity, you want more. Otherwise, it gets jaded. But does that make sense? But the problem is here you can't get. Maya just shows you something, and then you spend the rest of your life running after it. It's just the way it works. You know, hence, it was like, we call it, what was that, Marcos? The president in
Philippines,
you know, a long time back. I think it was 80s or 90s or something
80s.
Like that. When they somehow or another adjusted the government, so he was not involved so much. When they went into the palace, his wife had 3,000 pairs of shoes. 3,000. So there's a good chance that first time she bought herself some nice, you know, Louboutin shoes, you know, that were really, you know, good quality, the happiness she felt, then she spent another 2,999 pairs trying to match that. And it gets less and less, because who wears that many shoes? What can you do with them?
And she took those shoes with her when they had to get out of the country.
Oh, she did take them with her. So that was the big problem, was taking the shoes.
That's right.
Container of shoes.
Secondhand?
No, they wanted everything. They just went for their lives.
Yeah.
They never went back.
At least you got the shoes. Yeah, so I mean, it's always going to be, you do something and you're looking for that. So it doesn't, that's the way it works. It's the, what do you call it? The, what is it? I think it's something like the law of returns. It's something that whatever it is, it always gets less and less and less and less.
Instead of the law of attraction.
Yeah, it goes, yeah. So, but in the spiritual world, you don't have that. Because there's no obstacle to that. It's always increasing because it's centered on Krishna. Krishna is everything. You're centered on Krishna, then what won't bring about happiness? But the other is it's centered on yourself and what in the universe actually cares about us. You know, other than the Lord. You know what I'm saying? So it's never going to be. So
what is, according to your description, from what does Gopakumar feel the first time he meets?
That's the first one.
Yeah, that's described, yeah, there, right there.
What does it say that he feels?
in the dimension?
Yeah.
Well, it's always
it's
a
very detailed description.
He says he is here. What took you so long? He only left for a fraction of a moment.
Yeah.
What took you so long?
Yeah. But also there's a description of how Krishna feels. Because he also falls unconscious. I mean,
yes,
it's
yes,
a fall.
Yes. Yes.
It's very...
And the cowboys don't know who is Gopa Kumar. They think he's a demon.
Yeah, yeah. They are like suspicious.
Yeah.
I think it's also mentioned four kinds of meeting and four kinds of separation. Maybe Rupa Goswami mentions that.
Yeah, this is obviously going to be their finding. But the main point is that focus is not on pain. The focus is on the ecstasy of being absorbed in Krishna. It's one of the flavors, it's one of the varieties.
I guess there's no vocabulary to use to describe what they feel. So.
No, because it's beyond.
Because we use pain of separation.
Yeah.
We use that.
Yeah. But we see is that, it's just like, but if you look at it, and here, let's say the guy is, you know, one of those professionals who, you know, climbs, you know, how do you say, Everest. Right? You know Everest, or is K2?
No, it's Everest.
Everest, okay. So then, it's freezing up there. The cold wind, your face, the eyes, everything like that. But there, the more it's like that and cold and freeze, the more they're happy. You know, or the guys that are, you know, do the gym, you know, the more the muscles burn, then, you know, or the guy, you know, how you say, you know, the radio ones where you have that fat guy sitting there eating donuts and he's on the radio doing the aerobics and he said, feel the burn, you know, and he's just eating donuts. Yeah. It means you can't see the guy, so you don't know, but he's just good at it. He can get you inspired, you know. Spin class, you know, they're all there and they're really freaking out. He's not riding a bicycle, he's just walking around and come on, get in there, you can do it, you know. And so people go for that. It's not a problem, the intensity. It's just that if the intensity is in a situation of motion they don't like. So it's not about intensity. You know, we have to understand it's not, oh, the pain is intense, so I don't like, but you'd like happiness. The more intense it is, the happier, the better you like it.
Mm.
You know, like that. You know, you taste, what do you call it? We were talking before about, what do you call it? You know, we touched on, you know, since we're getting to higher levels, that you ever heard of preparations, you know, that these big chefs put out called Death by Chocolate?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's about intensity.
Yeah, I almost had that, if you remember. That chocolate cake that...
Oh, yeah, we had it.
It was almost death.
Once.
Yeah, so the intensity is not the problem. You understand? So it's just that if it's in the wrong area, it's just like activities. Means when things are going right for us, you know, that somehow or another things are working out, the time's working the way you like, you're getting the results you want, no one's going like, you know, why this is happening to me, you know, I just want to remember Krishna, but all these great things are happening, and it's so distracting, and, you know, why do I have to, you know, put up with all this, you know, the previous karma, I've surrendered to Krishna, why, anybody saying that? No. But if it doesn't go the way they want, then it's like, you know, what's going on here? I'm a devotee, I surrendered, why this is happening? Like that. So you see is that the intensity is not at all the problem. It's just that if it's not what you think it should be, then that's why then these words, you know, trigger. You explain them. If they need to be used, you use them. But then you have to see if the audience isn't responding, don't use those words. You talk about something else. You know, like tomorrow's Devadasi and what's going to be for lunch or something.
First we have to discuss what's going to be for breakfast.
That's true. Then there may not even be a lunch, right?
Yeah.
We never discuss pleasure of separation in here.
In eating?
In here. You know,
Oh, okay.
But here it's also pleasure of separation.
Oh, okay. Oh, when it's in the hut, then that's pain of separation.
In the material world, I
mean. Yeah.
Duality.
Yeah. Does that make sense? So it's just we have to be careful that we're not focusing too much, because it's not for them, these things. Lord Chaitanya is going through all this, you know, and talking all the, he says all the moods and that of Radharani and the gopis, and so he's fully absorbed. He's very happy in all this. Right? That's the whole thing. But those santris come. Otherwise, why have all those santris on the transcendental platform? Why are all those there? Right. So it's the spiritual world. It's the nature of the living entity. Everybody there is happy. The taste of love of God is increasing at every moment. So it's not a problem there. It's when you remove Krishna from it and try to center all those aspects of, you know, the five aspects of bhava on ourselves, and then try to taste that rasa, and then it doesn't work out so good.
You know, like every morning at the court of Nanda Maharaj, according to Gopal Champu, so you have one day it's Stingakanta, next day it's Madhukanta. So they take turn in telling pastime. So they're all sitting there, Radharani comes, she sits next to Krishna, they hear the lila. You know, you always get this, and then, you know, they want to know, and what's going to happen then? And at some point, you know, one of the two boys, we can stop discussing separation. And Radharani goes, and Krishna goes, I'm here, you know, it's only a story, I'm here. I don't want to be there. Now it's just an amazing combo of this mood that he creates in that book.
Also, we know from one of the qualities of the bhava stage is that one has hope, avashya rakhiva Krishna.
Mm.
So that hope is always there. So when one goes beyond that, there is never a stage that then he is hopeless or he is in some kind of, you know, what you can call, that he thinks that, you know, he is in anxiety, like from the negative point of view. Because one of the six qualities, one of the six aspects of bhava stage is that he has complete hope, that faith that Krishna is protecting him.
Mm. Yes. So that's what I'm always thinking, he'll come. So then we see Krishna does come back after the Dantavakra pastimes.
Actually, it's only 3 months that is described later in Krishna Sandarbha. Krishna only goes away for 3 months. He just comes within 3 months.
Goes away from Vrindavan? He only goes for 3 months. That's not 100 years.
No.
That's
That's prakat.
From
in the prakat, you may feel like that, but in the aprakat.
That's in the prakat, only 3 months.
Oh, in the prakat.
Not 100 years.
First, as soon as he goes, first thing he does is he sends Uddhava.
Yes.
And then he moves to Dwaraka, and he immediately in Dwaraka the attacks happen about Dantavakra, Shishupala. Then it comes back to Benikali.
So everything included, all the demons, Kurukshetra, everything.
No, that all happens later.
Oh.
That all happens later. Jiva Goswami explains very clearly Prakat and Aprakat Leela.
So he goes back and he leaves again?
Yeah, he goes back again. Oh. He sends everybody back to Dwaraka.
But then it goes back to, it goes into Apakara. Okay, he's after that, when after Dantavakra, when he goes to Vrindavan, when he leaves that again, then the Prakat pastimes aren't manifest. So Vrindavan's those pastimes aren't manifest. So now it's only Aprakat going on there, while in Dwarka is still Prakat's going on.
Yes. Oh, okay. So Dwarka, Kurukshetra, this is all Prakat. In the meantime, Vrindavan is already Aprakat.
It's the whole description is that towards from 153 Anucheda onwards to 180.
That's the morning class.
Otherwise, I would hear from the table, fine. So, no problem. I have my noodles. So is the mantra, yeah? I have my noodles. What are you going to make for lunch?
Leftover noodles for breakfast. But if that's after eating all the noodles, so it's just the water.
Yeah, right.
Yes. Chapter 20. The Shikshastaka prayers. Pratigya. The Shikshastaka prayers are the essence of all Vedic scriptures for the Rasika Bhakta, the pure devotees who relish rasas. Adhyaya Prakashika. The following summary of the 20th chapter is given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Pravaha Vasya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed his nights tasting the meaning of the Shikshastaka prayers in the company of Sri Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Rai. Sometimes he recited verses from Jayadeva Goswami's Gita Govinda, from Srimad Bhagavatam, from Sri Ramananda Rai's Jagannath Vallabha Nataka, or from Sri Bilva Mangal Thakur's Krishna Karinamrita. In this way he became absorbed in ecstatic emotions. For the 12 years Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived at Jagannath Puri, he relished the taste of reciting such transcendental verses. Although the Lord is present in this material world for 48 years, after hinting about the Lord's disappearance, the author of the Chaitanya Charitamrita gives a short description of the entire Antya Leela and then ends his book. Shloka Anusharana. Okay. Verses 1 to 7. Lord Chaitanya relishes transcendental emotions. 8 to 10. Introduction to Shikshastaka prayers. 11 to 62. The eight prayers. 63 to 65. Summary of the Shikshastaka prayers. 66 to 102. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj's reason for compiling Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. 103 to 140. Summary of the Antya Leela. 141 to 157, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita's Phalashruti. Verses 1 to 7, Lord Chaitanya relishes transcendental emotions. Only the most fortunate souls will relish the mad words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which were mixed with jubilation, envy, agitation, submissiveness, and grief, all produced by ecstatic loving emotions. All glories to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Chandra, and all glories to all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thus resided at Jagannath Puri, Neelachal, he was continuously overwhelmed night and day by separation from Krishna. Day and night he tasted transcendental blissful songs and verses with two associates, namely Sri Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Rai. He relished the symptoms of various transcendental emotions, such as jubilation, harsha, lamentation, shoka, anger, rosha, humility, dainya, anxiety, udvega, grief, arti, eagerness, utkanta, and satisfaction, santosha. He would recite his own verses, expressing their meanings and emotions, and thus enjoy tasting them with these two friends. Sometimes the Lord would be absorbed in a particular emotion and would stay awake all night reciting related verses and relishing their taste. Verses 8 to 10. Introduction to the Shikshastaka prayers. In great jubilation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "My dear Sri Damodar and Ramananda Rai, know for me that chanting the holy names is the most feasible means of salvation in this age of Kali. In this age of Kali, the process of worshipping Krishna is to perform sacrifice by chanting the holy name of the Lord. One who does so is certainly very intelligent, and he attains shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna." Quote, "In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the name of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. Footnote 35. This verse is spoken by Saint Kadabhajana in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.32. Verses 11 through 14, verse 1. Shikshastaka introduction. 3.20.11. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna, one can be freed from all undesirable habits.
What is this 3.20.11?
Means that we've been saying all the way. All means all, these are the. This is 3 means Antya Lila, 20 means chapter 20, 11 means.
What is this 3? So I got confused.
Yeah, because then in Madhya Lila will say 2, and in Adi Lila say 1. It's just a simpler way to write it. Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, of Lord Krishna, one can be freed from all the undesirable habits. This is the meaning of awakening all good fortune and initiating the flow of waves of love for Krishna. Shikshastaka 1, 3, 20, 12. Let there be all victory for the chanting of the holy name of Lord Krishna, which can cleanse the mirror of the heart and stop the miseries of the blazing fire of material existence. That chanting is the waxing mood that spreads the white lotus of good fortune for all living entities. It is the life and soul of all education. The chanting of the holy name of Krishna expands the blissful ocean of transcendental life. It gives a cooling effect to everyone and enables one to taste full nectar at every step. Sri Shastaka 1 explanation. 3.20.13-14. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, by performing congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, one can destroy the sinful condition of material existence, purify the unclean heart, and awaken all varieties of devotional service. The result of chanting is that one awakens his love for Krishna and tastes transcendental bliss. Ultimately, one attains the association of Krishna and engages in his devotional service as if immersing himself in a great ocean of love. Like they said, oh, sorry, immersing. So immersing is more intense. You know, just like, let's say, you're learning, some skill, or especially languages, then the most intense is called the immersion.
Yes.
Right? It means you just go there. No one speaks your language. They only speak the language that you are, supposed to be speaking. Yeah, and so, and it's in whatever is going on. So your life is just there, and it's nothing. There's nothing else that's called.
That's immersion.
Yeah, and so then you know.
Immigration.
Hmm?
It's called immigration. Immigration.
Immigration. Yeah. yes.
We went through this. That's how.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So it's called Ulpan.
Ulpan. Yeah.
But it also has that elevating aspect.
Yes.
It's only there. Otherwise,
it's
just
only one place it's elevated. Everywhere else is going down.
It's degrading.
It's how they call it when you leave.
Yeah.
Yerida.
Yeah. According to our position right now, we went down. Because from the highest place we went down. Somehow we climbed up.
Oh, yeah.
And then we.
Yeah, we're talking about.
So there's one program also, it's called Bhakti Immersion.
Yes.
It's very successful program.
Okay. Yeah, it means you just give it a nice name. People come, they know what they're getting into then. And you go back a few years, it was called a retreat.
Yeah, retreat. But retreat, it's too simple. Bhakti Immersion sounds much...
Yeah, no, but I'm saying that before retreat, that was the buzzword.
Yes.
So now immersion.
Yeah, now immersion. Yeah, before it was just, you were very, very happy at the Sunday feast talk, and the brahmacharis just take you in the back room and just shave you up, you know.
And then you get immersion on the sankirtan band the next day.
Yeah. Yeah, you retreat to the back room, get shaved up, and the next day's immersion, so.
And you learn everything in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, you know, they dip you in the water, it's also kind of an immersion.
Yeah. Okay. In his Sri Sanmodana Bhashyam, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, no, it doesn't go all the way. Because it only goes up to 66, and then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says Thakur, then he comments. And then that goes to. Then, and in Bhajan Rahasya, yes. So it's only 9 pages.
9 pages now for the first verse.
For the first verse.
That's,
I think others have less because that has 7 parts.
Yes.
So then they explain each part. So that's why it's more. I begin Sri Sanmodana Bhashyam, a commentary on the Shikshastika verses by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At first, offering my humble obeisances to the Lord, who is eternally manifest with his eternal associates, the Panchatattva, supremacy of the path of devotional service. The path of devotional service is the highest perfection of life and is sought after in all Vedic literatures. Applying his superior intelligence to researching the Vedas thoroughly several times, Lord Brahma ascertained that the best method of self-realization is the awakening of one's loving attachment to Lord Hari, the Supreme Lord within everyone's heart. This philosophical conclusion thus unequivocally establishes the supremacy of devotional service over fruitive activities, speculative knowledge, or any other process. Pure devotional love of Godhead is unattainable without great faith and intense eagerness to relish the nectarine pastimes of the Supreme Lord, and without a deep understanding of the esoteric truths of the scriptures. And even when profound faith is present, it is impossible to discuss the transcendental topics of the Supreme Lord without the association of saintly persons, because this activity is integral to hearing and chanting process of devotional service. The Srimad Bhagavatam confirms this as follows. It is only in the association of my pure devotees that discussions about my transcendental glory become spiritually potent and arouse loving devotional mellows within the inner core of one's heart. Statements as these extol, enthusiastically praise, the virtues of saintly association, because the Lord's holy name, form, qualities, and activities are perfectly glorified in righteous company. Lord Chaitanya in his teachings foremostly discusses these glories. In the fourth line of the present shloka, for example, the word param indicates the process of chanting Krishna's holy name, which is naturally all-purifying, and so is the highest form of benediction. Through all the different stages of spiritual progress, beginning with Shraddha or faith, Sadhu Sangha, saintly association, Bhajana Kriya, practical devotional service, etc., chanting maintains its preeminence. However, chanting in a pure and devotional mood is never to be confused with cheap sentimentality or pseudo-devotional chanting. To this point, that all the way through, it's going to be chanting that's happening. So it's not that at some point you get to some higher kind of thing. That's the difficulty with these so-called rag sadhanas, is that there's something else that's higher, when it's actually, no, it's always about hearing and chanting about those glories. You know, that's always the position.
It's also interesting that, I mean, I'm not very well informed completely, but my understanding is those who take initiation in the Bodhi arts are not given a set number of rounds at the time of initiation.
Before it was, if they're not now, that's.
Yeah.
But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was 64 rounds, that's it.
At the time of initiation?
Yeah, 64 rounds, that's just. Live in the temple, 64 rounds. And so then that was that. For those who are very busy, you know, in the preaching and other, you know, then 16 was minimum.
16, yes.
So that's where the 16 minimum comes from, from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So now if they're giving less than that or they don't care about that, then that's, you know, that's between them and their guru.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, that's up to them. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was 16, wasn't it? Because you see, if you chant less, the kind of like the consciousness goes down. The 16 is able to be maintained, but then that means you're doing something also. So some there was a on this 16 rounds, and there was a comment by some that, you know, oh, but you know, 64 rounds is standard. I don't see, you know, this person or that person chanting 16 rounds. I mean, 64. Some are, but this one's not. But he says, but he's busy in service all day. So I see 64.
Right.
You don't see it because you're looking at simply when their hands in the bead bag, but I see it by the service because it's all service. But it still didn't mean you could chant less than that. You know, it means someone is, you know, before initiation is busy and like that, and they're doing nice services and all that. Even if they're not chanting so much, then it's nice. They'll be purified. But once the initiation, then there's a standard. Then, you know, so it's just. We have ours and they have theirs, and you know, that's, we don't worry about it. In other words, that aspect is not our standard. You know, we see it's whether the acharya is and things like that. So that's the fun. We don't try to compare ourselves, and we don't need to compare ourselves. You know what I'm saying? Unless it's something that Prabhupada's mentioned, and they say, oh, I can't do it, but they're doing it, and then you say, what do you mean they're doing it? Why can't we do it?
Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, nowadays, you don't get that so much. You know, it's just like, you know, you live here in Mayapur, right? You've been here for so long. How many times, when have you ever bumped into Gaudiya Math or had to deal with Gaudiya Math or anything to do with Gaudiya Math?
Very rarely, do
you think? Yeah, it's just, it doesn't happen. In the West, you probably bump into them more than here. You know, and they're talking about, you know, how is this and that and so. No, it's not. We live right here. It's like, you know, we're surrounded. Right? Between here, our front gate, and Hulurghat, there's 11 branches of Gaudiya Math. You know, 11. And that's this side. Then you go that side, there's more. And some of the ones down here are connected with there and this and that. So, you know, yeah, 15, 20, just right here on the road up to the corner. You know, before Bhamanpur, you know, so it's like, you know, but. They do their, and between themselves, they have nothing to do with it. It's made out as if all the Gaudiya Maths are all working together and ISKCON is a separate entity. No. They have nothing to do with each other. I mean, like, when I say nothing, I mean, like, zero is a euphemism. Literally. From one Math, you can't go to the next Math and give a class. You can't lead a class. Nothing. Zero.
Mm-hmm.
They're having Vyas Puja of their Guru Maharaj, they'll go to your mat and officially invite everybody and they all come and all that, and you come and sit. Then if you know something, you can talk about the Guru Maharaj, and then, you know, generally if you're one of the senior men. But otherwise, then you take prasad and all that, but that's the only time you're going. Otherwise, they have nothing to do with each other. So this illusion that is presented by the Western devotees that have connected themselves with Gaudiya Math, that, oh no, you know, we're the narrow-minded and they're the liberal. And that's like this. Anybody who knows the truth is just, that's just a straight up front, you know. That's, what do you call that? I think it's called that red herring. I mean, it's just nothing. They won't let each other come into the mind. Nothing. It's no question. You know, like that. They invite somebody, maybe like that, but it's for a special occasion. Otherwise, no. They have their people, they do their stuff. You can't move from mat to mat. You know, so they make it look out like going from ISKCON to Gaudiya Math, that's a natural thing to do. No, they don't allow that between mats. Even here, if somebody from the Gaudiya Math wanted to come to ISKCON, Prabhupada said you have to bring permission, you have to get permission from your acharya. And so, I mean, in the 70s we had 3 devotees here from that. You know, they had to have permission from their acharya, and they had to work under the GBC. And so they here, they just did their full service and everything, wouldn't know. Like that, they didn't talk about their mat. You know, it goes on. So it's all. These are all just illusory things that are going on. So it's not. It's just, you know, we have our standard by our acharya. You follow that, it'll work. You know, they have their standard by their acharya. Then that's between them and their acharya and Krishna. You know, works nicely, then who are we to complain? You know, so it's not that, oh no, but there's all these standards. No, it has nothing to do with us. But,
Yeah, we still have minimum, you know, amount of rounds and rags and this and that. It's like nothing.
I would say those who live in the mud, then there's some standards. But if you live outside, it's just, I think one of them just means is, you know, don't let the don't let the beads go unattended or something. You know, some simple thing is just, you know, don't neglect your beads.
But they're different, also very different standards.
That's there, but what I'm saying is that we hear these things from generally Western devotees who go to the mod and hang out. They don't live there. We even had some devotees that were here when one of the mods, there was a civil war going on, you know, amongst the locals, and they told the Westerners, better go over to ISKCON until this is over, you know, because they won't be able to handle, you know, Bengali riots, you know. So they were living here and doing everything here. So they, you know, so devotees live over here, and you know, and that, and then they go there and they like this and make that initiation and all that. And if they just tell them you chant whatever you can, that's because they're not living in the mud. They're outside. How are you going to police it anyway? You know, who cares? You know, like that. That's kind of the thing. But if they live in the mud, there's a good chance that's not the standard. You know, but in mud means no grihasthas.
Right.
That's what it means. Mud means it's just brahmachari sannyasis.
Still?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the meaning of the term mud.
But still, it's like
that? I would say for many of them. I'm not sure about, you know, in Govinda Maharaj's place these days. You know.
Because he has Westerners living there.
Yeah, but then they may have something, but then it becomes, then it's a temple. Like you see in India, the temples, they have grihasthas, they have the viharis, they do all the things. But a grihastha may come in during the day and manage, but he doesn't live there. You know, ladies may come in to service, but they don't live there. So mutt means only brahmacharis and sannyasis stay there. Like Chopati is a mutt.
Yeah. Also on Govardhan, that place is a mutt.
Yeah.
Ladies to the palace.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so at least we had, when Prabhupada was here, Hyderabad and St. Louis were mutts.
St. Louis?
Yeah. At one point it was, I think, 7th from 76 or something. They installed Gorni Thai, and it was a mutt, because it was a main place for, I think, the Radha Damodar party. You know, because it's right in the middle of, exact middle of America. You know, it's like, so. It's as far out of the way as you can get. From there, you can go to anywhere. So, but there in Hyderabad, now there, neither of them are still mutts. They're both temples now. But they, I think they started temples and they became mutts. You know, back to temples. So, point is it's just if they have that, that the grihasthas aren't living there, then it's a mutt. And if they are living there, it's a temple. So it doesn't really matter. That it's just a slightly different flavor in how it's managed. Like that. So that's the whole point. When you have these monks and they're living outside, then they're probably just going to encourage them. You know, like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know. So we don't have to worry about what they're doing. We worry about what we've been given and how we follow. You know, that's there.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.